Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Welcome, welcome to Brown Vintage Radio Show. I am your host, Brown Vintage, a.k.a. Maya. I'm talking about today inspirations and people who inspired me, especially journalists. Being a person that's in the journalism industry, I wanted to kind of talk to a few people who are in media, people who kind of paved the way. I don't have anybody on the show at this moment, so I'm going to get into another song. This is a song that is probably one of my favorite inspirational songs or gospel songs by an artist named Darlene McCoy. She's an awesome, awesome singer, and I believe people should definitely check her out. This is off her album. I believe it came out in 07, 06 possibly, but it's called Falling in Love, and it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Check it out.
Don't know just why, no tell.
on myself. Okay, that was Darlene McCoy with Falling in Love. And I thought that was a very, very great song to kind of pick up the pace of this evening. It's kind of going a little slow. I did just drag one of my friends on the show because I don't have anyone on here. So, Stacey, could you say hello to no one?
Hello, world.
I know you're under the weather. Are you still kind of feeling sick?
I am, but, you know, I guess I'm up for whatever you have planned.
You sound horrible, but thank you.
No problem. I'll try to sound better.
Okay. I don't know what's going on today, only because I don't have any. My special guest has not made it on the show.
Who was your special guest?
My special guest was Coco Brother.
I do apologize for the Atlanta.
You apologize for him?
I'm apologizing for him, being that I am in the area.
What's that in the background, Stacy?
I do apologize. I do have my little ones here. And I do apologize for them, too.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to have to take another twist like I've done before. You know, I apologize to whoever's listening because I don't have any, my special guest was supposed to be on here, and I was going to talk to him a little bit about what he's done and some of his inspirations and how he's gotten to where he is. Coco brother, Corey Condry, he was, well, he is the host of Lift Every Voice on BET and also The Spirit with Coco Brother on Atlanta-based radio station on WPZE. So I really thought he was going to join us this evening. However, I'm sure his schedule's pretty busy, so I'm not going to hold it against him. But I do want to just switch gears and maybe just talk to you, Stacy, in regards to some of your inspirations. I know you're not in the journalism industry, but I know there may be some people or some things that have inspired you to get where you are and, you know, to where you're, you know, to be successful. So if you could kind of tell me what are some of your inspirations and how did you kind of like maybe a little bit of trial and error you had to take to get to where you are now?
To be honest, I have none. this is going to sound a little weird, but I'll put it out there. I guess my life has just been blessed. I've just been blown in the right direction. I guess, you know, whatever comes, I've went with it. And, you know, I've been blessed that the plans that I've put forth have come to fruition. And even I've gotten more than I've even wanted, you know, so... no inspiration, really. It's just been a blessing to be where I am. And just happy that everything happened the way it did.
But you didn't feel like you had any stumbling blocks along the way?
The stumbling blocks actually were blessings because, you know, I started working for White House Black Market while I was in college. And I thought the end of my internship meant the end of my world. But, you know, better things happened after that. I worked for Office Depot, and that was about 6 months. And after 6 months, I made a decision to move to Atlanta. And 2 months after being in Atlanta, I started working for the American Heart Association. So that's why I said the parts that I considered stumbling blocks ended up not being a block at all. It was just a way to get to another chapter in my life.
Okay. So, I mean, in a sense, it was like, and you know, I'll say that because probably most of our stumbling blocks are blessings. We just don't know them until after the fact, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you did have some minor stumbling blocks, but they, like you said, they were blessings to you, but in a sense, like when it happened, you didn't know what you were going to be blessed with, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does. I mean, and sometimes other people's trials are different than others. So, you know, you have to take them as they are. But, you know, one thing about it is that if you put your trust in God and know that if you've got trust in him, things will start falling into place no matter how long they take. And that's why I wanted to, I really wish Coco Brother would have been able to make the show because I was reading his story, and his story was quite amazing. I did not know that he was homeless for a year. I didn't know that, you know, he was fired from his jobs. You know, I didn't know that he had to take a lot of slack from people to even get where he is. And that's one reason why I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to talk to someone who had really been through it, had even had the trials along the way. But here he is hosting two very successful shows, and you know, he started in, what, 1995, and it's 2009 now. Look how long that journey was for him, you know?
You know what, I think some of the great, when you read a lot of stories of people who have reached to that position in their life, recognize they were like Job. They went to the bottom of the pit.
Right.
And showed, you know, God for what he truly is. And like Job, God brought them to the top. But, you know, sometimes you don't realize you might be at the bottom at this point in your life, but you don't know what the future has for you.
That's true. That's true. Job took a lot, you know, and it's more, it's like, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have had that much faith as he had. You know, he really took a lot, and Job never complained. Never.
I think a lot of us in today's present day are like Job. I think
yeah.
When those things happen to us, we are complaining. We are pointing blame. We are angry, but that's because we are human, we are flesh, and we're open to fault, you know?
Right. That's true. We are definitely open to that. And, I mean, I know you haven't, I guess, went on the path of journalism or anything, but for you being in human resources and working with people a lot, I mean, as well as journalists do too, was becoming what is your specific title, your job title?
I'm the human resources specialist.
Okay, was becoming a human resource specialist one of your goals, or was it something that God just had in his plans for you? Like, did you feel like that was something that you already had in mind, or was that something that you feel God kind of just presented that to you?
I think that was God, because I started out as an assistant to two very fabulous recruiters that really molded me to really, you know, for my next, for whatever happened in my future. And moving to Georgia, I said I will not, my plan was to never take another assistant role, because my thing is always to take one step up, not one step back, or stay in the same position. So when I moved to Atlanta, I became the HR coordinator. I thought I would be in that role for 2 years and, you know, gain the experience and try to move on to something else. But I was promoted. That wasn't in the plan. So I guess it's in God's plan and not mine.
That's interesting to know that was, you know, like, I mean, I know God's in the midst of everything that you do, you know, but it's interesting to know that that wasn't even one of your major goals, but that's where God placed you.
Yeah.
You know, do you look at being an HR specialist rewarding? Is it something that is rewarding for you? And how is it rewarding if it is?
Because of the kind of person I am, it's great. I can't do things for a very long period of time. It's just not in my nature. Change is a must for me because I get very bored very easily. And at first it was very rewarding, but once you've learned something and you start doing it on the daily, it does become a bit boring.
Right, yeah.
Repetition is never something that, you know, it excites me. So it was rewarding in the beginning, but I think at this point in my life, I'm ready to change and do something that is more fast-paced, a little bit more of me using my talent, my creativity, because with what I do now, it's very, you know, monotonous. It's payroll. The payroll doesn't change. The way you do it never changes. The process never changes. The laws, you know, the laws are updated, but they remain basically the same. So there's no room to be creative or room for change. There's only room to better processes, you know, to improve the process in which you do things, but there's not much room for change.
So in a sense, you're kind of like looking, you are still kind of looking for that change. You wish it would maybe have a little bit more of a, you know, flip-flop, do something different kind of position.
Yeah, I'm looking to bring in more of me to the table. Just realize that now, you know, in just today's time with what's going on with the world and people losing their jobs, you have to think of jobs and careers differently. You have to think of it less of a means to an end and less of the way of paying your bills, because that's not living. You know, you get a check and you disperse this check to several different people because you have people that you're indebted to. That's not living. You're living to pay other people. You're not living to, you know, excite your life or do something different.
That's right. Well, I do have another person on my show. Thank you for joining me, Sissany G.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you very much.
What are we talking about?
Well, because I don't have my special guest on the show, which I'm a little disappointed, I will admit, because I really thought he would be really, really great to talk to because of his story. He has a very, very inspirational story. So I kind of deviated from that, and now I'm just basically asking my friends now, you know, what are some of their inspirations and where they and how did they get to where they are now and what are they continuing to do? You know, think I'm asking questions like that. So, I mean, glad to, for you to join us. Would you be able to tell me, you know, I know you're not in the journalism industry, but would you be able to tell me some of your inspirations and how, you know, was it something that you wanted to do, or do you feel like this was something that just God gave to you? Like, did you already kind of have it in your interest that you wanted to be in this position or do this or whatever?
Do you mean career-wise?
Yes, career-wise.
I also have another friend here, Tiffany, just to let you know. So you have two others on your show.
Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, nice meeting you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too.
My inspiration, I do think it's something that, well, I always want to major in business, I think, since middle school. I didn't know what type, so when I got to college, I was a management major. And then I switched from being management to general business, and I have a specialization in travel and tourism. And I was going to do, like, the event planning side, that business aspect. But I shadowed for a week at the Orange Bowl and realized I couldn't get up and go to the event before and then stay after. That was too much work for me, and they didn't get paid enough to do all that work. So then I was going to intern at the Orange Bowl, and I couldn't because my college didn't set up internships for you just to do alone. And they didn't want me to have to go to school and intern at the same time because the internship was going to be too demanding. So I was just like, well, Lord, just help me find an internship in a hotel or something in that aspect. And when I called, the human resources lady said, oh, yeah, sure, what area would you like to go into? So she gave me a description of all the areas, and I said, well, I'll do human resources. And fell in love with it, and I felt that God placed me there, and that was the reason that I couldn't do the internship that I thought I wanted and had to deviate from that. So I think he placed me there, and it really, I found my niche.
Okay.
And I like helping people, always, I guess either helping if it was my younger cousins or individuals at school, just about jobs or how do I get in school and how do I do this and how do I do that. And I'm like, well, I am always doing that, so maybe that's where the Lord is leading me to go. So.
Okay. Well, huh?
I said, so that's how I ended up getting where I am. And I draw my...
Are you pleased where you are and happy? Do you feel like there's definitely more in you to do?
There definitely is, because, I mean, I wasn't able to get into it right after college like I thought, and I was able to get a temporary position in March of last year in HR, and so that was close to a year since a month after I graduated, and then after that, I got the position that I have now, which is in retirement. So at least I'm learning what I need to be that HR director one day. So because you have to know about all aspects before you can be a director. You need to know about retirement and benefits and interviewing and all that. So I know it is a great stepping stone, and it's not where I'm going to be forever.
Right.
I know I need more in me, definitely.
Well, I know it was a question I asked Stacey before in regards to trials, and those were some of the questions I was going to ask Corey, because I know I read that he was homeless at one time, and he was fired from a couple of his jobs, you know, that in the journalism industry, you know, and so he's definitely gone through a lot from 1995 to now. And so I wanted to ask you, were there any trials that you've had that were really, you know, big stumbling blocks to even just get to where you are, even though you're not where you exactly want to be yet? Do you feel like there were some stumbling blocks along the way?
Definitely. When I graduated from school, I had a position in HR as an HR coordinator. And 2 weeks before I was told to start, they called me and told me, oh, psych. We have to give it to somebody internally. After I signed all the papers, I was getting ready to move, and the job was a low-paying job, which was a blessing, because had it been a job where I could live on my own, I would have already gotten an apartment and everything, and then no job, and would have been stuck with a lease. So I still moved to Orlando and looked for a job, and I was there for about a month before I found the job, which still wasn't in my area. But I was just hoping that, you know, continuing to look for a job, that I would be able to find something in my field. But I was there for 8 months, and I was still, you know, secretary in the sales department. So I moved back home in November and didn't find a job until March, which is a temporary position I was telling you about a few minutes ago. So, I mean, the stumbling blocks would just be not being able to, even if it wasn't the high-paying job, I couldn't get anything in my field. But just with perseverance and prayer, God opened the door with something that I thought would be temporary, and the individuals working there, they were saved, and they were where I was at one point, so they were very helpful and instrumental in trying to help me find a position. They allowed me to stay there longer than I was supposed to, because I took the position of someone who was on maternity leave back, and they still allowed me to work there. And I think that was just the favor of God placing me there, and they were helping me out. They were giving good recommendations and everything. They had my best interest at heart, which that's hard to find when you're working, because
right,
some people are out to get you, or oh no, I can't let her get to the top, or they feel threatened by a young person coming in who's, you know, ready to work and ready to go and willing to do what she needs to do. So, and I was in that predicament when I was in Orlando. Even though I didn't want to stay there, they still found me as a threat and trying to sabotage me and stuff. But God is good.
That's right. God is good. I wanted to, I will get to Tiffany in just a second. Stacey, are you still there?
I am.
I wanted to ask you, what are some of your motivations?
Motivation. I don't know. I go to work. I don't really think I have a motivation.
That's a very honest question, though. I mean, an honest answer, I should say.
Yeah. To be honest, no motivation. The motivation is I have bills to pay. I like the car I drive. Live. I guess that's a motivation.
Do you have any motivations, I guess, as far as people in your life or anything that kind of gets you going, anything where you are that you feel like is your motivation, you know, your drive for even if you're not doing what you want to do right now, what is it, do you have anything that motivates you to get to, you know, a certain point?
Yeah, my youth. My youth is my motivation because in my brain, it's I still got time. If I ever wanted to start over and do another career, I still have time. So I guess, you know, I'm still young. It's motivation.
Yeah. You know, I mean, anything could be a motivation to you. So, you know, I know for me, it, my motivation is just, you know, the people that I see that's doing what I like to do or doing what I want to do. Like, that's like a motivation for me. You know, getting rejected is a motivation for me. Not being able to it's like you're not able to justify what you do, you know, like because of something else that somebody else may see or that they didn't like that you did or whatever. You know, that my motivation is to conquer that. You know, like when I get that, I'm motivated to do better. I'm motivated to prove to myself and to others that I'm better than that. You know, like those are some of my motivations. You know, Stacey?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't know if you had any, you know, I was just giving an example. So I didn't know if you might have thought about something else.
No.
Okay. Sydney G.
Hello. Hi.
What are you on the line or what?
I'm on the line. I was just listening.
Okay.
You want to know my motivation?
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
Okay. My motivation would be. Like I said, I think that God laid this out for me. All his plans for us are. So my motivation would just be I feel that I'm in the will of God, so I want to do the best that I can with what he's given me. Position to do, just to soar in it, not be lazy in it, you know, and just I prayed for it. It was a desire of my heart to have. So my motivation is just wanting to do well and soar in my career. If he leads me in another direction, then I'll be motivated to do that because I'm just thankful that I can recognize where he, when his hand, I guess, is leading me, or he is leading me.
Right. Well, Tiffany, is Tiffany still there?
Yes, she is.
Tiffany?
And Tiffany's a teacher. She has to motivate the children of the world, teach them well, and let them lead the way and show them all the beauty that they possess inside.
Is Tiffany on the line or is she not available?
She's on the line.
Hi.
I didn't want to leave you out, so I wanted to ask you a question in regards to some of your inspirations. I'm just going to jump back to inspirations because I know I talked to Stacey and Sydney about, you know, some of their inspirations and you know, some of their goals, and have they reached their, you know, their goals or maybe full potential, or was it something that they feel like just God just led them to it? You know, because I know sometimes you can have a goal and that's the goal that God wants you there too. So it's like you guys work together, but was this something that was a goal that, you know, God was in the midst of, or do you feel like it wasn't even something in your plans that God placed you there?
I think it wasn't even something in my plans that God placed it there, because initially when I went off to school, I went to school to study pharmacy, but somewhere along the line it just ended up that I became an education major, and I started working, and I fell in love with it. Now if you would have asked me 4 years ago, my thoughts or my opinions toward teaching, I would have said no. Like, no. And I'm not really a money person, but I mean, let's be realistic, let's be honest. Being a teacher, you don't get paid a lot. There's people finding for you, but yet and still, you sort of get the short end of the stick.
Right.
As of today, I mean, it is truly, it's a very rewarding experience. it's a very rewarding career, and it's more than just, okay, well, you know, I can buy this or I can get this or I can do this, but it's knowing that, okay, well, just a little bit that I know and a little bit that I'm doing is helping to, you know, spark or enlighten the student to where they'll become lifelong learners throughout their lives. And, you know, maybe 20 years from now when there's something executive, they can look back and say, okay, well, Miss Brown, she did this. And just knowing that has the possibility of happening, or just even with FCAT, you know, a student going from a level one to a level two, just that in itself, just small gains, just is very rewarding, because it's like you know, you help somebody. So
right.
Ultimately, that's something that I like to do, and I don't have much, but whatever the little that I can give, you know, I will give it, and just knowing that I am being helpful in fostering type of positivism in a world that's just so negative, it's a good feeling.
And is that some sort of like ministry to you?
Definitely. It definitely is.
Okay. And I mean, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Stacey and Sydney. You know, some of the motivations you have, like, do you have anything that in particular that just continues to motivate you even when you might be at your weakest point, but you know you have motivation? Is there anything that you feel that, you know, gives you that?
In regards to my career at this point, just knowing that I have them, you know, to care about.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, when I was growing up, you know, I had parents, you know. And
mm-hmm.
A lot of people have parents, but in this day and age, you know, kids come to school and they don't have this, they don't have that, you know, they don't even get a hug or, you know, and I always make sure every day I tell my kids I love you, and although I may yell at you, put you in your place and tell you to sit down and stop talking in my class, and although you may be failing my class, I still love you, you know, and that's a lot of things they don't get. So I guess just having that they're my motivation, you know, just knowing that they're there and they need me, because if I don't do it, who else will? So.
Right. Well, that's sweet. That's sweet. And, you know, I don't think a lot, I'm sure not a lot of teachers do that, you know, tell their students that they love them, you know, just because they may not even get told that at home,
right.
You know, that they're loved, you know. What grade do you teach?
Fourth grade, math and science.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to go back and, you know, because what I'm doing, I'm just asking questions that I was going to ask Coco Brother in the sense of, you know, journalism. And I know that that's where he, you know, that's what he studied and what he's gone on to do now. But, And any one of you all can answer this question. Just, you know, looking at the times now, you know, and how we're in a recession and all of that, do you feel that your positions are going to stay? Like, do you feel like you're going to actually have a job in that industry? You know, or do you feel like it may dissipate and then you know, you might have to try to find another field or trade or whatever?
This is Tiffany. I answer.
Okay.
I don't even really look at that, because it's walk by faith, not by sight. So, you know, I feel like if you harp on that type of stuff and you think, oh, am I going to have a job day? Or, you know, I don't even try to let that negative energy in my life, you know, because I feel like when you speak that into existence, then that's bound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when it's just like, you know, well, and sometimes even if I was to lose my job, I hold the model that all things work together for the good. So even though it may look bad at that time, in the long run, you know, it'll eventually work out for my good. So really and truly, I don't try to live my life like that. You know, I'm blessed to have the career that I have now. If something was to happen, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to be upset and wonder what happened, but in the back of my mind and in my heart, I know that, you know, I believe in the Lord, and I know he has my back, you know, and my best interest at hand. And if maybe that wasn't the place for me to be, and maybe that wasn't supposed to be revealed to me at that point in time, but I didn't need to be in that position, and he took me out of that position or that place for a reason. So
that's right. I believe that. I definitely believe you walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I'm a witness to it, even though it was a very, very hard road, and it still is a hard road. You know, I had to learn that too. You know, for the past year and a half, I had to learn patience and faith because I had to gain that because I did not have it in the capacity that I needed to have it. You know, it wasn't manifesting in my spirit, so I had to believe it because sometimes we pray and we ask the Lord for things and we're asking him to do these things, but if we're not believing it, then what good does it do? If we don't believe that God can do it, then what good does it do praying to him and asking him to do it? So it's like we have to pray to ask God that we accept it, that we learn to believe it as well, you know, because when those kind of things do happen, yeah, we're going to be upset because that's flesh. That is flesh, and he knows that we're going to be hurt, but the point is not wallowing in that, you know, and, you know, that's one reason why I asked that question because, you know, if at the place where we are now in the recession, you know, some people are leaving their jobs because they feel like their jobs may not have security. So they're leaving the whole field, period. And so I'm asking, like, you guys, if you feel like your industry will just crumble at one point and then you will have to find another trade.
No. In my area, it's retirement. That's what people are worried about, and AIG, and what's happening with this company, and what's happening with that company. And I have people calling me every day, do you still have Avalic in AIG? Or, well, what is this and what is that? We can't answer to that because the companies are separate. But it's just that what in my field, that's what everybody's worried about. So I know they're not going to be like, okay, let's get rid of the retirement department because it's HR. You still have to have that going. And it's 22,000 employees at the University of Florida, and there's only 7 of us in our department. We need more people, honestly, even though they can't afford to pay them. But what we do for everyone that we have to serve, I feel sure that my position would be there just based on that. And just, you know, in general, just like Tiffany was saying, whatever I need, God has it. So if I don't have it, then he didn't have it for me. You know, and then just would have to move on and do what it is you need to do. You know, like I said, I've been there to where a position was taken away from me before I even started it. You know, it's one thing if they would have said, no, you did not get the job. But they said, yes, I did. Then they took it right back before I could even touch it. You know, so that's what let me know that you can't put your faith in people anyway, or even just that, oh, I have this. You know, not to say that it could happen every time, but you know, I just need to stay focused, have faith, and know that even if it is, because, I mean, there's some people who are miserable who have all the money in the world. So as long as I got Jesus, whatever happens, it happens.
Okay. I hear you.
Just wanted to add to that, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Is it last week or 2 weeks ago, my organization works for the American Heart Association. We let go of 37 people. And of the ones that I spoke with, a lot of them feel they're truly blessed because they were really happy in the position that they were. They were just, like I said, a means to an end. They were happy to have a check in order to pay their bills. But at the end of the day, you start to realize that your happiness is more important than any job or anything you could possibly possess. And I think that's what a lot of people forget, you know. It's nice to have nice things, but isn't your sanity and your happiness a little bit more important?
Right, you know, and right. I mean, they can attest to that. I mean, the fact that you said that they seem to be more happy now after they've lost their job, you know, because, you know, it's like, all right, you know, I lost that job, but now it's kind of like they're free to do whatever they want now. Like, if they weren't happy in their jobs in the beginning, then it's kind of like they had that freedom now, you know. And I guess, like you said, that is it's a blessing in disguise for a lot of us, you know, in that sense. It is a blessing in disguise. You know, for me it was the same way. You know, my last position I was in, I was not happy in it. The Lord knew I wasn't happy in it. But when I was asked to leave, you know, it was a disappointment because that wasn't the first disappointment I've had in a position. So it kind of made me feel like I was inadequate and I could not perform. So in that sense, that hurt. But I knew it was also a blessing because the Lord already knew that that wasn't even the position for me. So it was kind of like I was given freedom to do whatever. And he's allowed me to just use my creative juices and do some different things, you know, because I wasn't getting that or doing that at my former job, you know. And I want to ask you guys, like, I guess some of the advice, because, I mean, the 2009 graduates, you know, they, you know, recently graduated from college, those, you know, at universities and stuff. Like, what advice would you all give to that, you know, we're all Generation Y, but, I mean, I'm saying, like, what advice would you give to those who have just graduated?
That's a good question, because today we had graduation day at our church for children who graduated from pre-K, going to preschool, going to fifth grade or sixth grade, or, you know, graduating from middle school, high school, and college graduates as well. And I think everything that was echoed, of course we were in church, but, you know, I'm a witness, and I told them to just keep God first, truly, because you just never know where things are going to lead. I know when I came out of high school, it was, you know, not that I took it for granted, but I never really had to struggle. Like, in school especially, it just came easy to me. I mean, 4.0 awards and all this, and didn't have to worry about a graduate over a 3.9 unweighted, you know, just stuff that, you know, people are like, oh, you know, high school is hard, and I just couldn't understand because it wasn't. You know, I had scholarships coming out of my ears, my toes, and everything. And so, but I was told to keep God first either way, you know, and it was instilled in me. So I carried them on to college, and that's when things started changing. I realized I wasn't going to be in the top of my class when I got my first test back. You know, you just have to realize, all right, Sissy, you're not going to be at the top if this will go around. And once you just come to grips with the fact that things are not going to be as easy as they may have been, and you have to continue to work hard and strive and just continue to honor God, and he'll still put you where you need to be. Even it may not be that you are the best test taker, have the best grade, but favor ain't fair. And I'm a witness to that. And just, you know, different things that you may go through, if it's friends that come and go in college or professors or just being on your own and realizing, you know, where your faith is and where you are and where you need to grow, that will last longer because you come to a lot of peer pressure. And people say that you're an adult, so you think you just do anything you want to do, but you have to stay strong in the Lord so that you don't, because you don't know when you're going to really need to call on him and have to have that experience to let you know, like, okay, God, you are who you say you are, you know. Coming out of college, it wasn't like coming out of high school where everything just transitioned pretty well. You just have to continue to stay focused and know that no matter what happens, God is still God.
Right. Does anybody else have any, I guess, advice that they would give to the, you know, the class of 2009? Stacy, Tiffany?
I agree with Tiffany. I think, you know, before you even exit college, pray and ask God for direction on where you should be and what you should be doing, because, you know, we have our own ideas of what we think we should be doing, but really you need to ask God what he has for you before you even stepping out. And I think that's very important, because you might have the job of your dreams, but, you know, so many things happen that might not be what God wanted for you.
Right.
And I think that's why asking for direction prior to and before you make any decisions about your life is very important.
That's true. That's true. Tiffany?
There's not really much more to say. They pretty much summed it up. You know? Pretty much on the sequence, you know, I would say.
Okay.
I want to say something. When we were talking earlier about our experiences and how, I guess, most of my circle of friends, it's we didn't have it really easy after, you know, getting the bomb jobs. And sometimes you wonder, well, why am I, or am I inadequate, what you were talking about, Maya?
Mm-hmm.
But I've also had friends who where the test did come easy, and the GRE and the LSATs and all this stuff, where when they get there, they're still unhappy. So I think when you speak to, on the flip side, when you realize, like what Stacey was saying, that if you have, you know, peace about what it is that you're doing, then that's more important than all the accolades and stuff that you can get. Because sometimes you just don't hear, you don't hear that side of when you talk to people who are in their field and monetarily and everything. But I've had friends that go off on Wall Street and New York and all this, and then you hear, oh, I left. And it's like, wait a minute, you were working and doing well, and then they said it was just too many hours. I didn't know who I was, and I left because I was just whatever I need to be at the job. You know, they were just using me, and I couldn't even think when I came home. You know, so when you hear that, it just humbles you to let you know that, you know, just thank you, Lord, for helping me be able to slow my roll on whatever pace you have me at, you know.
That's a good point. That's a good point, you know. And it's like, I guess we've all, there's so many different sides to all of it, you know, like what you said, you know, some, you know, you can't have, you know, people who have a whole bunch of money are still unhappy because one thing, they don't have Christ, you know, and then you have people who are just, you know, who don't have the money, but they may be just extremely happy to be in the position that they're in. You know, so, I mean, you have that. And then you have the ones who actually do become successful and have Christ, and they have a good life and are really leading by example. You know what I mean? So you still have that side, too. You know, I'm sure we all know people who do have Christ, who have a nice job, who love their job, who enjoy what they're doing, who, you know, all of that. And they're able to do it. And they're an example to many.
That's going to be me. Have me on the show then, too.
I'm going to claim that right now, because I probably will have you on the show. And it will be a very big show. It will not be this, but it will be a good show, a big show. Yes, I'm going to claim that, too. I'm claiming that.
Tiffany,
and that will
be thought this was a good show.
I'm sorry?
That Tiffany said she thinks this is a good show.
Well, thank you, Tiffany. I really appreciate it. I really do. We do, there is about 6 minutes left of the show. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a little portion of this song. I don't know. I know Sisney probably knows the song. But I really think just a little bit of words, you know, that she sings, to me is just so personal, and it's just so, like, you can tell it's a love letter. If the song had a little bit more depth, like if it gets more lyrics, it's like a personal love letter to God. And it's by the lovely India Ari, it's called Grains. So I'm going to play a little snippet of that, and I'm going to come back. Okay.
You love me from the flicker of an eyelash, a further star from the pyramid to the beat of my heart, from a woman in Malia to a child in Harlem. We created from the same thing. Oh, I'm grateful that you created me from the same grain. From the same thing, I'm grateful that you never cease to amaze me. the way you love me.
Now, wasn't that a lovely song? Just a lovely song. What's a...
I'm grateful that...
Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, well, you got a lovely song?
I have a beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was nice.
Beautiful. Yes, I know it's just a short song, but it says a lot. But I wanted to play that because it just seemed like the perfect time. And then, plus, we don't really have that much time in the show anyway. So I would definitely like to thank you guys for being on the show. I know this was short notice, but I didn't really know. I didn't want to cancel the show. So I kind of dragged Stacey out of her sick bed to be on the show, and I asked Tiffany to join me, even though she had company. Tiffany, and thank you for joining me too. I really appreciate it. So I'm going to say goodbye to my listeners, and I'm sorry that Coco Brother could not join us, because I really thought he would have been a great interviewee and just be able to give his testimony and his story. But hey, all things work together, and it wasn't supposed to happen, so it was just meant to have a good conversation. So I want to thank you all, and as always, keep it natural. And I'm going to end the song with in the show with Mary, Mary, I Worship You.
I was lost, but you came and found me. You left your throne, thinking about me. You bled and died to show me mercy. You gave your all because you saw my need. I was empty, but you came and filled me. I was blinded, but you helped me to see. I was broken, but you made me whole again. Felt like nothing, but you gave me confidence. And I'm filled with so much gratitude, but words are not enough to explain the magnitude, the passion of my love. Oh.